In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.
Amen.
Please be seated. It always seems a little strange to me after a story like that we just heard in the gospel to raise up the book and say the good news, the gospel of the Lord. Yeah. Do you remember the first time that you ever felt powerful? Take a moment or two to think about this. When was the first time that you ever remember feeling powerful? Able to act, to make something happen. In my own life, I think back to a time when my sister, Narisa, who's 7 years younger than me, was about 3 or 4 years old. Some cousins were visiting from out of town, and one of them brought a friend who was about her same age. They'd been sitting on our living room sofa, playing together and getting along, or so it seemed, until all of a sudden I heard Marisa cry out in pain. Apparently, our young guest had not been pleased with something my sister had done or said, and his teeth had found their way into her soft, fleshy arm. Without thinking, in the blink of an eye, I found myself immediately beside him, having smacked him in his own arm while Narisa was now in my arms. I scolded him fiercely. He started crying too, and our living room became full of the sounds of wailing and gnashing of unhappy teeth. But I felt vindicated and powerful. I had protected my little sister from her pint-sized foe. One could say that today's gospel passage is a colorful, albeit disturbing, sketch of power. Power and its abuses. The scene is sandwiched between the story of Jesus' band of disciples having been commissioned and empowered by their teacher to go out into the world and do as he did, casting out demons, healing the sick. This is the story that we heard last weekend. And then the story that we'll hear told in detail next weekend is of how those 5,000 hungry men were fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish, that miraculous feast in the middle of nowhere. But the feast described in Mark's gospel today is quite different than the one we'll hear about next week. The contrast, in fact, could not be more stark. Today's feast is opulent and over the top, a birthday bash for a king whose family dynasty, with all its intrigues and drama, would make any modern day Netflix series about family dysfunction pale by comparison. A ruling dynasty willing to do anything to hold on to its power and wealth, with internal squabbles, jealousies, and divisions all centered around power, wealth, and control. And just so we're all clear on which Herod we're talking about today, the Herod in today's Markan Gospel is not the same Herod that we hear about in the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, that one who's disturbed by the strange and sudden appearance of a bright star appearing in the east, remember him? Who invites those wise men from the east to visit a child in Bethlehem and bring him word of the child's whereabouts? The same one who, when those wise men refuse to do his bidding, orders the massacre of all children aged 2 and under in and around Bethlehem to make sure any prophesied threat to his power is eliminated. No, that was Herod the Great, who, by the way, was married 10 times and had several of his family members executed, including one of his wives, his brother-in-law, and 3 of his sons. The Herod in today's Markan Gospel is one of that Herod the Great's sons who managed to survive his father's executing tendencies. And this is Herod Antipas, who marries his half-brother Philip's wife, Herodias, who happens to be their niece, the daughter of their half-brother Aristobulus, who was executed by their father. You got that? And it is this marital arrangement that John the prophet dares to speak out against, speaking as prophets do, truth to power, which ultimately results in yet another execution at the hands of a Herodian ruler, this time involving heads and platters. Oh, to have such power and to wield it in such a way. The prophet Amos, who's featured in today's Hebrew scriptures centuries before the Herods, gives human voice to God's mind and heart when it comes to power, its right use, and its abuses, speaking truth to power in his day. This is God in the words and the voice of Amos. For three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because they sell the righteous for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. They who trample the head of the poor into the dust of the earth and push the afflicted out of the way. God goes on to say through Amos, I hate, I despise your festivals. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. In other words, worship and ritual mean nothing, nothing, void of acts of mercy and justice and compassion, alongside those on the margins and underneath, on the sidelines, under thumbs, crushed by systems, struggling just to survive. I invite you to recall the night before our Lord Jesus died, when he was at supper with his friends, what he did in that ritual that we embody on Maundy Thursday, kneeling at the feet of his friends and his followers and washing their feet, saying, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, you call me rabbi, master, and you're right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. If there is one hallmark of the Christian life, what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Christ, one could make a good argument that it has something to do with power. How you view it, how you use it, what you do with it when you've got it, and what true power really, really is. There's the power of the world, of the Herods, then and now, power over, laid in contrast with the power of God, as embodied and illustrated in Jesus's life and message, relational power. Power with, power alongside, power for, power in service to. Just this past Thursday, dozens of community members, local leaders, and developers gathered for a ribbon-cutting ceremony at Greenmount and Chase, an affordable housing community in the Johnston Square neighborhood. The new building stands in what used to be an empty lot at 700 East Chase Street. It cost $16.6 million and is the first major project that's been completed as part of a larger $160 million revitalization plan for Johnston Square. It is the co-creation and product of people with power and wealth and influence, working alongside and in relationship and in conversation with residents and leaders of a neighborhood that's been dealt with disinvestment and urban blight for decades. Regina Hammond, Johnson Square leader, has been in conversation with the Maryland Secretary of Housing and Community Development, Kenneth Holt, who has agreed to work with her to protect legacy residents, so those residents who've lived in Johnson Square for a long, long time, so that even as the property values start to rise, they can still afford to live there. And Secretary Holt, who was present at this ribbon-cutting ceremony, said that what's happening in Johnson Square and through Rebuild Metro and Rebuild Johnson Square is a national model, hoping that other cities across the nation are going to follow that. And several of our Redeemer parishioners and leaders have helped and been influential in that project. I spoke with someone who was moved and reflecting on the ribbon cutting ceremony, someone with means, who said that it doesn't matter if you have a life of means if your life doesn't have meaning. This gives meaning to our means. From the Gospel of John. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power, power to become children of God, to embody the power of God. I'd like to end with a prayer that I believe is familiar to most of us, and I'm going to change one word which you'll recognize when I change it. Please pray with me. Lord, make us instruments of your power. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Lord, make us instruments of your power. Amen.